This is the Business's Mission podcast. Business's Mission. I'm Gaia Boyd, your host.
The transition from living for God to living with Him. It's not complicated, but it's life-changing.
Listeners, welcome to this episode. We will talk again with Leen de Bruyne. And if you missed our last call, please listen to the last episode where Leen shared. Leen is an entrepreneur. He's an author. He wrote the book Building a Startup Without Going Crazy, which is already quite revealing to who might be interested in this book. But he's also started an investment fund called Living Hope with a vision for Europe. Leen, welcome. You're good to have you.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
Bill, it's good to see you.
Oh, hey, it's good to see you again. And I'm really looking forward to hearing Lane's second podcast with us.
Yes, Leen, we really enjoyed the talk with you last time. You know, your entrepreneurial journey. Maybe you can recapture a little bit to the people who haven't listened to our last episode. Where's Leen?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. All right. Well, I was raised on a farm. Then I studied business administration. I had my first startup. I joined a startup when I was 23. It grew quickly. I sold it to private equity when I was 29, basically. Then I was for a while doing other things. Being an angel investor in startups, doing coaching, education, studying philosophy, try to find a new way to make sense of my life. I wrote a book. What are other things you want to know about me?
Well, how did this fund start? I understood in a former talk with you that you felt you received it like an idea of the Lord. Is that true?
That is true. That is true. You always have to be cautious with using that kind of phrases, but we also have to be bold sometimes. In a certain way, I was spending quite some time in Europe, traveling through Europe, talking to people, also to other Christians, investors, entrepreneurs, philanthropists. I was investing in startups in Europe, and I started actually to develop a kind of love for Europe. Our shared values, our shared history, and the culture, the nature, the food, the people. I think it's a beautiful continent. On the same time, it's a little bit under pressure, or people experience it as under pressure. Huh? Sometimes people refer it to it as a museum. I also used this phrase on one of our latest events, Europe as the risk to become a museum without a soul. And that's the second part. So most people only focus on the lack of technology, a lack of innovation, which I think it's partly incorrect. I think we have a lot of innovation and hotspots in Europe. But I will go back to your question first. So anyway, on a certain moment, I spent some time in Italy with my family. I came back and I had an empty agenda, basically. And I thought, okay, I'm a Christian now for 15 years. Why not try once in my life to ask the Lord what I shall do and then see what happens, and not trying to figure out something myself and then, you know, ask his blessing. So I did that. And basically I got two ideas. So one was write a book, which I did. We talked about it last week, 2 weeks ago. And the whole thing was to start a venture capital fund, a European venture capital fund, which was a little bit crazy because I immediately had the idea it should be European. I want to have an international team. I want to do everything in English. I want to have international investors. I want to have an international advisory board. Well, if you have not a history from funds, if you do not work in this space, it's basically very hard to start a thing like this. And I had to prepare myself for this. So I had to do a course in English. But the strange thing is, I felt very comfortable with the idea. I had immediately kind of idea how it should be, like a kind of map or something that say, okay, not this, but this. I never basically deviated from the first ideas. And then I took me 2 years basically alone to sit on an office in Rotterdam, just alone to preparing this, build all the technical infrastructure, the legal side, investing a lot of money in myself, working on no salary for 3 years, and just try to find people to work with me or to invest in the idea. And yeah, but I did not feel lonely. I did not feel bad. I just enjoyed the time, although I was really on myself. And now we're 3.5 years later from that moment, from the first moment. And now we have an up and running fund with an international team, with an international advisory board, with a lot of, or at least let's say, the first 16 investors have now joined. We've invested in 10 companies. So it happened, basically. It's happening.
So how long was this ago, Lane?
Well, I got the idea in August 2022. It might be nice to tell. So I got the idea, you know, but I also thought, honestly, okay, this'll be a lot of work, you know. It's going to cost me 10, 15 years of my life minimum. So maybe I asked for a confirmation, right? So I prayed, can you give me a confirmation that this is a good idea? And then I was called the next week by a lady. And she said, I want to invite you for a certain event from an early stage venture capital fund. Then I said, well, that's interesting. I am planning to start a similar thing myself, actually. And she said, well, why not come to our office next Monday? And then I will invite the founding partner and he will tell you everything you need to know how to start a venture capital fund, which he did into detail, like go to this lawyer, do this, don't do this. He did not seem to enjoy the conversation that much. He was a little tired and sitting there, but for 2 hours, he explained me everything. But even then I asked, okay, like maybe, you know, I need another confirmation. Would be nice, you know, would be nice. So, and when I have that specific conversation with that founding partner explaining me how to start a fund, I parked my car and I literally, when I wanted to get out of my car, received a voice message by WhatsApp from 4 minutes from a pastor I've only seen twice in my life, evangelical leader, church leader. And he said, yeah, I was praying this morning and suddenly, I don't know, I was thinking about you. And yeah, I think difficult times for Europe are ahead. And there needs to be to go a lot of money to the kingdom, to allocate it to good things. I think you're going to play a big role in this. You have to change your investment behavior. It has something to do with funds. And I was literally like, this is not possible. This is really crazy. Right? I didn't tell him anything. I did not speak to the guy for, I don't know. I had only seen him twice. And it was 5 minutes before the appointment I had with the, you know, the partner who was explaining to me how to start a fund. So, you know, I have reformed background. So I was not raised in a way that you have to be very open for these kind of things. In the beginning, I thought, hey, it's a little weird. I'm not used to this. What is this? But I suddenly realized, wow, this is, God can really speak to people in many, many different ways. And if you really believe what we believe, this is all possible. And I used to get more comfortable to it. Of course, you have to check things and you have to rely on common sense as well and to act on your rational side. But this is how it started. And that gave me a lot of confidence to just continue building this.
Well, Bill, when you hear this, what do you hear?
I totally understand both getting the message in the direction and then feeling like, do I let anybody else know how I got this? And what do I do if they don't really support it? But this past week here in Texas, I've had like 4 conversations with people I met for the first time who stressed in the conversation, the most important thing that ever happened to them was hearing God, getting his voice about something. And that's what I'm going to interpret with what Lane is saying. He's hearing from the Lord a direction for his life for what to do. And he had the courage to do it. And you do need, how much courage would you take? Would you say our audience needs to be prepared to have to follow God if they hear him give it a direction to them? Is courage ever an issue?
It's not only willpower. It's a kind of the walk on water idea, right? I was reflecting on this myself last week. So Peter, the story of Peter is that Jesus invited him to come to walk from the boat to the coast and he had to walk on water, which is a crazy thing. And many people also in media are always laughing about his story. But basically, I think when you look at the life of Peter was like, he tried to serve the Lord. He wants to be rational. He said, okay, I'm going to fight for you. And he said, I don't need these things, you know, I don't need these things. And then he basically denied the Lord three times. And then after that, Jesus asked Peter a kind of irrational thing, like get out of the boat, walk on water, trust me, you know. And in a certain way, I think as Christians, we also have a certain choice we face. Like, do we only want to be rational believers, try to find out the right doctrines and believe that we have the good morality and all kind of things? Or is there also the part that we want to participate in the work God is doing and the calling he has, the works he has prepared for us? And then sometimes we have to learn to be comfortable with things that in the beginning seems to be irrational or at least take some step into the dark and then just see what happens. Yeah, I think that's the way our faith can grow, that we see that those things are not coincidences, but they are really happening. You know, either not just, sometimes I explain this story to people that are non-believing, and I've never talked about it actually in public, because sometimes I think, yeah, what will people think about it, you know? But so you have it's the first time actually I do this. But yeah, you need to develop, you can develop faith in this way to see that God is really, he's really, he can really provide, he can really make things happen. There's really a plan.
Well, thank you for sharing, Lane. In preparing, you know, for this podcast and talking about Kingdom Keys, that's the name of our podcast. One of the keys you say in investing is invest with a community. What do you have in mind when you say that?
Yeah. So building a startup is very, very hard. It's almost impossible to do this alone. We live in a very individualistic time where people want to do things alone. And that's how we operate, and especially in Western culture. And I think the Christian church, in the Christian faith, community is one of the, it's where the church basically started. It started with the community. People coming together, sharing meals, eating together, collecting money and share it with the poor, praying together. A community is very powerful. It's much easier and better to do things together. Also because together we can find joy in the relationships we develop. We can see more results. We can help each other. We can operate from shared values. I think it's very important to have shared values, especially if it are good values, of course. It will help. Criminal organizations have also shared values. I started a fund with an idea of building a community from faith-driven values. And then people ask me, what's faith-driven? What's faith-driven? I said, well, yeah, it's a kind of, there are so many faith-driven values, like what we see in the Bible, what we see in the life of Jesus. There's truth is a very important value. And we live in a society where truth is sometimes completely absent, or people don't care about truth anymore. There is beauty, there's sacrifice, there's faithfulness, there is working hard. There are so many things that resonate to me and also to our community. And people say, yeah, we should start from a value perspective. And then as a community, come together, have fun, have nice events, learn from each other, help each other, invest with each other. As a team, we pray with each other. For me personally, it makes a big difference in my life when I started to do this actively. Also from a mental health perspective, from a sense of meaning, from a sense of, because, yeah, okay, I'm already talking too long, sorry.
It's just interesting, you know, investing and community don't seem to always, you know, that's not the first thing what you think about. Bill, what do you hear when you hear Lane talking?
I do have lots of vivid memories of when the team began to form around me. And I realized I had been carrying so much weight by myself trying to accomplish it. And it's sometimes kind of an intuitive entrepreneurial thing. Still, you're writing the script and you want to be the hero, want to share with other people. Then you realize, wait a minute, you're dying as the hero. You're not going to survive. You better learn some other ways to live. And so the Lord began to, it struck me that my identity was not to be the hero. He's going to be the hero of my story all the time. That's the goal. And in order for me to find that, then I need to understand his role in my life as well. And so as he leads, and I'm just wonderfully thrilled with hearing Lane talk about how God gave him this directive and he had the courage to follow it. Now I'm just wondering, where is it going to go? And do you have hope in what you think can happen in the next decade with the fund that the Lord is leading you to start and has started? And are you seeing any sort of glimmers of direction of what he wants to do, or maybe even surprises in what you think is coming down the road?
Yeah. Do you want to share a bit about that, Lane? What do you picture in the future?
Well, what I see is that when you look at Europe, I think people are richest as they have ever been. So it's basically, and still people are feel very unhappy. And there's a big, I think, it's not an economical crisis. It's not technology that we do not have enough. It's more like a spiritual crisis. People are lacking a kind of shared perspective, meaning, something to live for. And I think that we should try to change this, to be more hopeful. And we cannot do this alone. That's why I would like to build a community of European investors and entrepreneurs. Yeah, the fund we have started is also So, of course, 90% we are busy with investing, selecting companies, doing due diligence, all the things in a professional way, in the best, to the highest standards, because it's not a joke to have an investment company. It's a serious thing. But it's also a kind of experiment in the sense of we want to create a kind of space where people who are joining us in the team or as an investor can change or learn, come to new realizations, try to get a new understanding about their own role as an investor, not only in our fund, but in general. So we try to promote things like stewardship so that you realize that what you own is not merely of yourself, but you're a steward of the things that God have given you. We try to be holistic in a sense that a lot of funds, I also invest myself in funds, and in the financial world, it's basically about money. That's what it is. And it's short term, it's isolated. Money is in a certain box for 10 years, and then it comes out of the box, and hopefully it is more, right? Sometimes it's less. But it's a kind of game. Sometimes I say people invest like they play Mario Kart. Yeah, you have level 1, 10 years, level 2, 10 years, level 3, and then it's game over. And then you die, and then the money transfers either to the government or to your children. Well, what is the fun? What is the impact you've made with your wealth and your investment? And I think we should do this more holistically. So also understand what is the impact on the lives of people. We, for example, invested in a company that is trying to solve breast cancer or let's say creating drugs based on gene variants. And these are a very good team, but this is going to take probably quite some time. I'm not sure if this is a very interesting investment from a financial perspective in 1 or 2 or 3 years. It probably takes a bit of time, but this is a very important cause. And the people who are working on this are super dedicated, motivated, passionate. And yeah, I think we also should have a certain faith also in this specific practical, sometimes investment case. We say, okay, we go for it. We really want to support it. We're not naive, we're not crazy, but still, we take a little bit more risk. I think it's a very Christian thing to take risks. I think if it means that you're a Christian, that you should not try to avoid all risk, be a very boring person, only going to church and try to live your life and don't bother anybody. That is not how I envision it to be. Let's say to follow Christ. It's so, an adventurous journey.
I see you laughing, Bill. Why?
I'm still remembering coming to the realization that when we had our little company planted in a city in China, it felt like the Lord was viewing it as his company. And we were the stewards of his company. But it took it to a level of depth of reality that I hadn't necessarily thought about. But if he did consider it his company, then he could send whoever he wanted to send to his company in the city. If he wanted someone to come in who really needed restoration, really needed to be loved and cared for, even though they had no skills whatsoever to qualify them for the job, that he felt like he could send them to us. We began to learn how to recognize when that was in fact taking place. But the risk factor really went up when you start doing the non-professional things and the non-best practices. And so I'm laughing because I'm wondering if the Lord has already shown you, Lane, that this is a company that it doesn't make much sense professionally to invest in it, but it's my desire. It's part of the reason I've started the company through you to do these kinds of things with. And this is usually when I say it's a little bit like Narnia is closer than you think. There's these kind of magical directions that the Lord can lead us into turn out to be really significant, but it takes a while and it takes some flexibility. It's this part, it's to him the benefit of the partnership that we have with him, that he gets to work through us to do things that he wants to do for all of those companies in Europe that he's trying to raise up to begin to be life-changing and life-giving.
Yeah. It's sometimes hard indeed to define impact, right, and success. It can have many faces. Of course, as a fund manager, we are very aware that we are stewarding other people's resources, although I also have invested myself, of course. That's why I also believe in diversification. I think it's also making sense to invest in Europe, countries, to open markets for the different companies you're investing in. And I think that doing things in this way can maybe lead to better financial results than if you're only focused on making money. what we don't know, and we cannot promise anything. And that's what I say to our investors too, like, okay, this is a venture capital fund. Venture capital funds normally make returns like between this range and this range. And we will give everything we have to make it happen. But we can, of course, not guarantee stuff. And that is also not from a Christian perspective. You have to use your talents. You have to use your energy. You have to give everything you have. But God is giving the fruit. You cannot force that. That's impossible. And everyone who says, yeah, I'm so based on my history or my track record, I can do this and that. It's creating a lot of stress for yourself, but also maybe not so true. I want to add one thing about sending people. I know that God can send people to you, Bill, is what you said. God can send people. It's a nice story to share. So last year, the fund was already close to launching, and then I still had not really a big team because I had a partner, but he said, yeah, maybe it's not for me. It's so, and then I was, I only had a few students working with me. So I was praying, so, okay, Lord, interesting. Spent a few years now, everything is ready. Would be nice to have a really, really dedicated, smart person helping me with this. And then I think 1 month later, a person from the UK reached out to me, Jordan, and he said, yeah, you know, he said, I do an MBA in Oxford. I'm working for a big private equity fund in Sydney. I basically know everything about investing and all the financial side of it. But he said, yeah, I came to faith a few years ago and I started realizing I want to make a change in life and want to do maybe integrate it. He went to conference in the US and Praxis, and he said, yeah, maybe I want to integrate my faith and investing. But how and where? And then he realized that we're the only fund that's doing this in Europe. So he said, can I do maybe an internship with you, with your company? I said, yeah, very welcome. So then when the fund launched, it was in May, he came here for internship for a few weeks. Basically after day one or day two, he said, you know, I like this very much. I'm going to quit my job. It means I have to pay the MBA myself or bring financial sacrifices. I'm going to live in the Netherlands. I'm going to join you. And he did. He recently got his visa. It's very nice. But he's very complimentary to me. We work as a big team and we had a very good team and we're not trying to get more people on board. But I never had expected that God would send an Australian guy to the Netherlands to help to set up a European faith-driven venture fund. So yeah. I'm now at a point that I'm not surprised anymore by anything.
Well, things, it's encouraging. I mean, I personally have a very strong heart for Europe. I've been around the world, but, you know, Europe, it has so much beauty and so much culture and so much. So I'm just encouraged to hear you and hear more people in Business's Mission here in the Netherlands and talking about sending people from all over the world to have a vision for Europe. Here I met Ariel Mar. He is from Fiji. He has Chinese roots. And, you know, he somehow God led him to the Netherlands. He has a background in economics and he led a Business's Mission venture in Asia for several years. But he has this strong vision for Europe. And it's kind of funny, you know, I've been in Fiji and it's beautiful, blue, sunny, and he hates hot weather. He loves the European Dutch weather.
Okay, like, well, he's lucky.
And he
I like Fiji. Like,
he's like, I'm here for 20 years. I want a movement of young entrepreneurs see, raise up and have with a vision for Europe. And hearing you and hearing, knowing of Ariel, who is like a partner in faith, you know, one of these team members that you're like, we're building. You know Ariel, Bill, he was part of our Kingdom Mindsets course cohort. And but it's, I don't think God has given up on Europe.
No, I think there's a great future for Europe. Maybe we are, some people say we're post-Christian. Well, we might be pre-Christian. We don't know. But we definitely, I believe, you will have a hopeful and prosperous future. We'll see.
So, Bill, we are already towards the end of our time together. What are your thoughts? Is there something you want to share? You know, hearing Lane and you are, you know, you've been all the way in China. I remember the first time you came as a speaker to the Netherlands. I was like, how could there be someone further from our context than Bill, you know, an American living 30 years in China? But you have been very well received, and we love what you bring to us. And it's again, you know, when I hear you, Lane, and when I hear Bill, you know, Bill is more outspoken, like, this is my downloads from the Lord. And here we Europeans, you know, we can be, well, let's be careful how we say this, all this. Bill, what is something you would like to share with our audience in picking up, you know, what do you say to the audience? This you should special keep in mind from this podcast.
Well, I love the events, the Lord leading people into your lives that are unexpected. And it's usually when we say, keep your eyes open, boys and girls, because Aslan is on the move. And what we want to say to the audience is that Aslan is on the move around their lives also. So keep your eyes open, be receptive to when you think something unusual is happening. It feels just a little bit magical, but step into it and just see where it takes you. So I'm really delighted to have this understanding of Lane and what the Lord has given him to do and his willingness to do it. And now seeing the Lord continue to build together a team to accomplish his purposes there. It's very exciting. It feels really familiar. Risky. But familiar.
Is there something you like to add, Lane?
Well, maybe it's nice to say that I believe that when you're a Christian, or maybe not a Christian, and you live from a call to create, right? When you get out of your bed in the morning and you feel like you're called to create something, to build something, I think that's it's amazing how much energy that can give to you, how much power and also joy. And I said, just please do not consider work as a list of tasks you have to do, or that you build a business because you will be rich in the future or maybe happy in 10 years, but really feel the call to create and start building and co-creating with the Lord from today and tomorrow and the day after tomorrow. Mm-hmm. That can maybe change your life and give you much more, a lot of happiness and joy.
Yes, I like how you word it, you know, to invest even, you know, if it's money, time, energy, with heart and soul. And that everything meaningful starts with a calling or something calling us beyond us. And like you say, you know, I heard also non-believers, you know, have this sense of calling of, hey, yeah. I want to do something what is beyond me. And what I also like is, and one of the maybe the main key that, you know, talking about the book, like what we did in our last podcast or the fund, to learn to live and build from meaning and not from fear. And I think you are a good writer, so you prepared something on page, so I'm gonna read that. You know, when you talk about, you know, starting from meaning and not from fear, it's from success to blessing. Success can be fearful too, but to blessing. From ego, you can maybe lose your, you know, your big self, to calling. From isolation to community. From short-term gain to stewardship. And from control to trust. And I think that last one is very much fitting with our whole conversation. So thank you very much for being with us. And I wish there was a third podcast, Lane, with you. What are you going to do in the next, in about 10, 20 years? Can we ask you again? Or ask you in a few years' time what God has been doing, what you've seen? Because we didn't talk about that either yet, that it's not so much your vision to build a big fund, but to have others multiply it. So who knows what kind of seed you have been throwing out there. And maybe some of the listeners, they are like, I want to do something like that, what Lane does. Maybe you are the one kind of sitting a bit bored with the next one for 2 hours to explain everything, how you do this.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
It was a privilege being here. And if anything interesting will happen in next, then I'll definitely let you know and happy
yes,
to come
please.
Back.
Yes, please time. Do. Bill, thank you.
Thank you, Bill, as well. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you, Gaia. Thank you, Lane. It was a privilege.
Yes. Well, listeners, see you again. And it's been a joy. Do you seek to integrate your faith with your business? Wednesday, March 25th, Bill and I will start our next online training, Kingdom Mindsets for Business. We invite you to join this inspiring and hands-on 10-week journey with business people from around the world. Learn more on bemoves.com. And in 2 weeks' time, we'll be back with another episode of the podcast Kingdom Keys for Business, Life and Work. And you'll find more episodes on our channel on YouTube.